Excellent. Sure, this is good, eh? Service with a smile, eh? Absolutely. Wonderful. It really is good to be with you guys, and we feel at home. We feel like we're among family today. And, you know, we attended Gateway for about a year, eh? About a year, and we have such fond memories of so many people. Great to see Johnny and Simone, and they hosted us in their home often, and we really, really appreciated that. And we were sent from this church to go to St. Neots. I remember us being prayed for and being sent to St. Neots, and we come back today with joy to say that God has been good to us. He really has, you know. Jill had something on her heart this morning, and she's going to come up and just share that with us. So Jill, could you come on up? And do we use this microphone here, right? That's great. Fantastic. So this is my gorgeous wife, Jill, and absolutely wonderful.
Hi. it's wonderful to be in our home away from home this morning. It's really good. And while I was waiting for God this morning, you know, it's always good to wait for God, right? While I was waiting for God this morning, he put this psalm on my heart for you. And as I was reading, I thought, wow, what a wonderful prayer. So do you mind if I just read it like a prayer over you this morning? Psalm 20, I'm going to read the whole thing. It says, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary. May he grant your support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. Do you know that God doesn't have a short-term memory problem? It's amazing. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. The Lord give victory to the king and answer us when we call. I just believe that God is placing you in a place of ultimate victory. And you know, the things that you've sown in prayer and waiting for, God wants to answer. And I honestly believe that. So,
amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Jill. Awesome. I've got so much that I could share this today, and I've probably got four different messages that I could choose. So I'm not sure which one to go for. So we'll go for the best one, absolutely. So let's turn to the book of Philippians, and it's really good to be with you today. I think I'm going to choose to speak on this today because it seems to be a theme that has come through the contributions and the worship. Just how wonderful our Lord Jesus is. How wonderful, how marvelous is my Savior's love for me. And today, I'd like us to just have a little glimpse at how wonderful he is. It's such a difficult thing to describe to people how wonderful Jesus is, because you always do a shoddy job in comparison to who he really is. So I hope that I give this some justice today. But let's have a look at Philippians, and we're going to have a look at our risen Savior, who he is to us. Let me say this, Jesus is no longer a baby in a manger, nor is he a thief, nor is he crucified between two thieves on a cross. He's now the risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And let's have a little glimpse of him today. Jill has just been reading a book by Bill Johnson called Hosting the Presence of God, I think it is, eh? And she read a couple of quotes to me out of the book, but one quote, and I don't know if I'm going to get the quote exactly right, but simply was this, that when you see Jesus as he is, our automatic response is one of faith. And I hope today as we see Jesus as he is, not as as we hope him to be one day. Remember, he is the I am. He reveals himself to us in the Gospel of John as the I am. He's not the I was or the I will be. Okay? He's the present present tense God. He is the I am. He's not, you know, what he was when he was on the earth and we read about him in the Gospels, or what he will be when we get to heaven. The gospel is not just Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago so we can go to heaven when we die. It's experiencing him, the I am, the same yesterday, today, and forever, right here, right now. And it is all about Jesus. And it's great to be among friends and people who are enamored with Jesus, who love him and want to see him as he really is. So let's have a look at seven things that Paul says about Jesus from the epistle he wrote to the church in Philippi. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to God's holy people in Christ Jesus in Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I thank my God when I remember you in my prayers, giving thanks for you because of our partnership in the gospel. And today we stand here as a family, knowing that we have a partnership in the gospel with you. We know that people here have prayed for us through difficult seasons and difficult times. And we indeed have prayed for you. And we appreciate the part that you have played in our lives and in our church. And, Nigel and Melita played a significant role in our church in helping us appoint elders in our church, helping put our church into order. And we have so much appreciation for all that has happened as a result of this partnership, this two-way street relationship that we have with you. And today I can stand here as a servant of Christ. What an awesome privilege to come to God's holy people in Liverpool and to encourage you something about our Lord Jesus Christ. Seven things we see about Jesus in Philippians. And I'm going to put on my timer and hopefully finish on time. What's 3 hours I have, eh? Is that right? 3 hours? So let's go for it. I'll speak for about 35 minutes. So first of all, we see that Jesus is the perfecter of our lives. I love this verse in verse 6. He says, being confident of this, that he, talking about Jesus, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. You know, God has begun a good work in each of our lives. He's the one who started it, and he's the one who will complete it. Let's have a look at Philippians 2 and verse 13. In verse 13 it says, for it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is the perfecter. Jesus is the perfecter of our lives. He started a good work in our lives, and he will bring it to completion. He is the starter, he's the finisher, and he is at work on everything in between. Galatians 3 verse 3 says, having begun in the Spirit, don't try and accomplish your goal through human effort. And you know, let's realize it was God who started this. It was by his grace we have been saved, and by his grace we will be changed, and we will grow, and he will work things out in our lives. And I think it's a wonderful thing that God has started something wonderful here in Liverpool. And he is at work here in Liverpool. And I think sometimes we need to stop and count our blessings. We need to count God's hand and his favor in our lives. And I think it's wonderful you have that blackboard there. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Thanking him for 3 salvations in 2 months. Man, that's awesome. 3 salvations in 2 months. 3 people who've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen. 3 people who Jesus died for, and 3 parties that took place in heaven. Just awesome. Absolutely awesome. So much to be thankful for. Thank you for a rent-free venue. My goodness me. How many of us would like to live in your house, mortgage-free, your home, rent-free? Huh? Man, I tell you, you've provoked me to a godly jealousy, you know? This is awesome, absolutely awesome. Thank God for his hand on your life. But I want to tell you something, the best is yet to come, because we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And he has given us this promise that he who has started a good work in us will bring it to completion. It's not like he said, well, you got saved and now it's just up to you. You sort it out. You work it out. Let's hope that you can make it to the end. And somehow let's hold on to the old rugged cross, hoping that we're going to get there. And you're kind of like floating in the sea, holding on to the old rugged cross. No, he is at work with us. He is working with us. He's walking with us. He's ministering to us. He wants to speak to us every day. And he who has started a good work in you will bring it to completion. He will bring it to completion. He will change us. Now, religion tries to reform us. Clean yourself up. Get a haircut, take all the metal out of your body, you know, hide the tattoos, you know, dress well. But I can tell you, I'm not amongst a bunch of religious people here today. In fact, this is probably one of the most unreligious churches that I've been in. Yeah, it's wonderful. It really is. Because you know what religion is? Religion is what is left when God leaves the building. But God hasn't left the building. He's right here. He is right here, okay? The second thing about religion is man through his own efforts trying to please God. You just can't do it. The Bible says your righteous works are as filthy rags. We need to understand it's he who's at work in us to work in will according to his good pleasure. The world around us wants to squeeze us into a mold. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Don't be conformed to this world. So you can either be conformed or reformed, and we shouldn't let the world squeeze us into a mold. And the world has a mold that it wants to squeeze us into. And, you know, I love the way it says in Colossians 2 verse 8. We might not get through all seven, but let's go for it anyway. Colossians 2 verse 8, and this is what he says. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through vain and deceptive philosophy. Based on one of two things, based on the principles of this world or the tradition of men. You know, most Christians and most churches will either go towards the principles of this world. We'll allow the world around us to dictate to how we should operate and how we should live. Or the pendulum will swing to the tradition of men. But we need to build our lives on Christ. Hey? We need to stay in the radical middle of building our lives on Christ. And it's he who is at work in us. So don't be reformed, don't be conformed, but be transformed. The Bible says, by the renewing of your mind, by spending time in God's presence, he transforms us. And the word behind that word transformed is the word metamorpho, which means a complete change of nature, character, and form, where we get our English word metamorphosis from. Let the change happen from the inside out. That's what God wants. He wants to work his work in us. And you know what? It's he who has begun the good work. Let's just keep following him. Let's just keep worshiping him. Let's just keep living his word. Let's just keep enjoying him. And change happens from the inside out. The second thing I want you to see is we see that Jesus is the purpose of our lives. Listen to what it says in Philippians 1 verse 21. Through to verse 24. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. To go into that throne room that we heard about this morning, where we encounter our wonderful Lord Jesus in his glory. But he says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And he says, I'm going to stay in the body. You know, there was a time where I thought I was going to pop my clogs. I thought my time was up. You know what I mean by pop your clogs? I thought my time was up. And I had no fear of death, but in me was this great desire to continue to serve God's purpose for my life. And you know what that purpose is? For me to live is ministry. No. For me to live is family. No. For me to live is work to eat, eat to work, work to eat to work. No. For me to live is shopping. Huh? No, for me to live is Christ. And you know what? When we begin to live for Christ, everything starts to take its place. Get the top button right. Have you ever tried to put on your shirt and you start working down here and you end up with one button out? Huh? The top button is, you start with the top button. Get the top button. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, a right relationship with him, and everything else falls into place. Hey? The Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're God's workmanship, his handiwork. You're not a knockoff. God has made you individual for an individual purpose, and every single person in this local church, God has made you unique to give a unique contribution to this church. You're here because God's handpicked you and he's put you in this church and he wants you to flourish in this church. He is the purpose of our lives. And you know what? The reason we come together is not for anything but the Lord Jesus, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And when we begin to live for Christ, our lives take great purpose and meaning. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. He's got good works for us to do. He is the pattern. He's the purpose of our lives. Number three, Jesus is the pattern of our lives. Philippians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 5 through to verse 11. Verse 5 says, in your relationships with one another. I love that phrase, one another, in the Bible. You see it all over the place. There's all sorts of things that says, love one another, encourage one another. It even says, greet one another with a holy kiss. There we go. If you have your wife with you here today, why don't you greet her with a holy kiss right now? Why don't we do that? Just absolutely. Isn't that awesome? Greet one another. There we go, Johnny. Hey, look at that. There we are. Isn't that awesome? Greet one another with a holy kiss. We'll save that for later, okay? But Jesus is the pattern of our lives. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Let him be the pattern for our lives. And it continues from verse 5 through to verse 11. Just a wonderful passage. Talks about how incredible our Lord Jesus is. I want you to notice, we must emulate Jesus. And I want to focus on two things. First of all, we see in verse 7, with humility. Verse 7, it says, rather he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He humbled himself and became a servant. And then if we go back to verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves. He's the pattern for our lives. And what we need to do is we need to build according to the pattern. Have you ever played Chinese whispers? Yeah? And if I came across and started on this side of the room and I said something and you passed the message along, it would come out completely different on that side. You know what? Jesus is our pattern. We need to look to him. Husbands, love your wives as Rob loves Jill. No, you'll fall short because that's gone from Christ to me and me to you. Now, I can say follow me as I follow Christ. But husbands, love your lives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know, wives, honor, submit to, follow, respect your husbands as the church to Christ. And that's the pattern. That's the standard. He is the plumb line. He is the one that we build according to. Let him be the pattern. Let's have a look at another one. In verse 6, it says, who being the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. What did he do? He made himself a servant. And then if we go back to verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Serve one another. Look out for the interests of others. And what we should do is our lives, our relationship with one another is not based on our relationship with each other, but it's because Jesus is our pattern. And what we need to do is we need to see him as he is and begin to emulate Jesus. Humility to me, let me just throw this in. Humility to me means being teachable, being willing to learn. And I think that I think the guy that was the least teachable guy in the Bible was the rich young ruler. Now there's three things that we see there, three hints that tell us why he was not teachable. Number one, he was rich. Sometimes we say, I can't learn from someone else because they've got more than I have or they have less than I have. Okay? He was young. Sometimes we say they're too old, what do they know? Or they're too young, what do they know? But I think it's wonderful to be in a church with different age groups, from the young to the old, and we can all learn and grow and connect with one another. And then he was a ruler. Sometimes we think hierarchy, but God doesn't think hierarchy. He doesn't. And we should never think that someone is above us or below us, but we together follow me as I follow Christ. I hope this is making sense to you today. Let's have a look at number four. Jesus is the prize of our lives. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the prize of our lives. Now, our goal is not a religious lifestyle based on law, but relationship through faith. Let's have a look at verse 4 of Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to verse 6. He says, I put no confidence in the flesh, the end of verse 3, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, he starts to talk about his pedigree and who he is. He was a Pharisee, his zeal persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, he was faultless. And then he says, but whatever were gains to me, whatever was to my gain, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Some versions say, I now consider it dung. I consider it worthless, absolutely worthless, that I may know Christ, that I may know him and be found in him, having a righteousness, in verse 9, not of my own that comes through the law, but a righteousness through faith in Christ. Okay? And then he continues down, let's go down to verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of that which Christ Jesus has taken a hold of for me. I do not consider myself having taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's not lose sight of that one thing. I love the way it talks about Mary and Martha. And Jesus turns around and he says, Martha, Martha. There's three times in the New Testament we see Jesus use people's names twice. Martha, Martha. I know I'm in trouble when Jill says, Rob, Rob. I know I'm in trouble. How did that message go today? Oh, Rob. I know I'm in serious trouble when she calls me Robert Malcolm. Then I know I'm in big trouble. Big trouble. You know? When your mother calls you by your full name, you know, Joel Matthew, what's it? Joel Michael. Whatever his name is. Absolutely. Whatever his name is, Joel, eh? Number four, you know? Simon, Simon. Huh? Simon. Simon. And I can't remember what the third one is. So I'll let you look that up, okay? Just whet your appetite so you look it up in the scriptures. But Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the one thing that will not be taken away from her. You know, sometimes we can get so busy doing things for God and we can miss just spending time with him in his presence, hey? Spending time with him. She's chosen the one thing, this one thing I do. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and this will I seek after, that I might dwell in his presence and in his house, you know. And I think that you guys have something special in this church. at Gateway. Something special where there's a deep desire to spend time in God's presence. Huh? And I think, you know, sometimes instead of saying, you know, don't just sit there, do something, we should have the attitude, don't just do something, sit there. You know? Huh? And I think it's a wonderful thing that right in this church you've dug a well, and this is like a well of life, a spring of life that you can experience where people can come and drink and experience what a wonderful God he is, that relationship with him. Number five, Jesus is the peace of our lives. Let's have a look at Philippians chapter 4 and together at three verses if we could. Verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Man, we could just camp there for a while. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. Notice there's two different things there. Prayer and petition. A petition is when you start getting people to sign up for something. If you want a petition, like you go and ask people to sign up so that they put down their name, address, email address, phone number. They say, this is what we want to happen. We want a new lollipop lady on the corner for our school or whatever it is. And everyone signs the petition. And you know what? We need to come to God sometimes with our petitions. We need to pray, but we also need to come to him and ask him for what we want. One of the messages I was thinking of speaking about today is questions God is asking. Who do you say that I am? What do you want me to do for you? Huh? What do you want me to do for you is another question he asks. Is there anything too difficult for me? And when God asks a question, he's not trying to get information, he's trying to inspire thought. When Jill asked Tyler, what are your clothes doing on your bedroom floor? She is not asking him to explain. She's asking him to do something. Where are you, Adam? Adam, where are you? Do you think God didn't know where Adam was? Huh? And you know, Jesus, blind Bartimaeus, he says, what do you want me to do for you? And he's saying we must come to him with our petitions. And then it says, with thanksgiving. In other words, God doesn't even like people whining. Stop whining. Come to him with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come with a good attitude. And then let's carry on. Verse 7, he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And go down to verse 9. The end of verse 9, it says, and the God of peace will be with you. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And if we want to experience the peace of God, we need to know the Prince of Peace. When we will experience the peace of God when we know the God of Peace. Have you ever seen that bumper sticker? No God, no peace. No God, no peace. N-O God, N-O peace. K-N-O God, K-N-O peace. Whatever it is, yeah. Whatever. There we go. Praise the Lord. K-N-O-W. Okay, K-N-O-W. No God. You with me today? Excellent. All right. I missed that class I missed the spelling class, that particular. Yeah. The K is the most important, but yeah, absolutely. All right. No God. No peace. How many people here today need to experience peace? Huh? You know, the problem is, it's vain for you to stay up late, to get up early, to eat the bread of sorrows, to worry. Huh? Worry is not faith. Worry is taking it in your own hands. And you and I are not capable of keeping this together. We just can't. If it was up to us, thank God it's not up to us. Huh? We would mess it up so badly. He who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion. And let's not worry. Let's bring it to him in prayer. And peace comes through trusting God in prayer. Cast your care on me because I care for you. You know, and sometimes you have to understand fear comes, an acronym for fear, you know, is false evidence appearing real. When we begin to focus on the wrong thing, and our whole focus is on the wrong thing, and what begins to happen, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives. How many of us are anxious about things today? I want to encourage you today. Let's not be anxious about anything, but in everything, let's put our trust in God. Huh? So just where we are right now, why don't we do that right where we are? I believe there are people, you're worried about things. There's someone here, you worried about a child, a son or a daughter. You're worried about that relationship. Today, let's not worry about it. Let's not be anxious about it. Let's trust God. There's somebody who's worried about a parent, near or far. God's not limited by distance or time. Let's trust him today. I think there's somebody here today who's worried about a work situation. Let's trust him today. Now, when we come to him in prayer with petition. A petition does not point out the problem, it points out the solution. Are you with me today? And when blind Bartimaeus, Tim, the son of Bart, blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus, he didn't say, "Jesus, I'm blind." He said, "I want to receive my sight." And today as we come to him in petition, let's bring the very thing that we're concerned about, but let's bring it with a solution. And let's say, "Lord, I want to see my husband, my wife, my father, my mother, my uncle, my auntie, my second cousin twice removed, whoever. I want to see them come into a saving knowledge of Jesus. I want to see them worshiping you. I want to see provision." Whatever it is, let's bring it to God. Right where we are, let's do that. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now and we ask you to make a way where there seems to be no way. We come to you, Lord, and we come to you and we ask you to intervene in situations in people's lives today. We trust you that you who have begun a good work will bring it to completion. You are at work in us to work in will according to your good pleasure. We hand this over to you. Bring your petition to him. Just speak it out to him. "Lord, this is what I want." And Lord, I pray that your peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Two more to go through quickly, and I've got about 5 minutes left on my clock here. And so let's have a look at number five. So far we've seen Jesus as number six. So far we've seen Jesus as the perfecter of our lives. He's the purpose of our lives, the pattern of our lives, the prize of our lives, the peace of our lives. Number six, Jesus is the power of my life. Philippians 4, verse 12 and 13. Verse 13 is a wonderful verse. It says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Strength. I can do all things through him, Jesus, who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Go to verse 12 and understand the context of this. He says, "I have learnt. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." You know, God will give us power to live through live a contented life in good times and in bad times, when things are going well and when things are a bit of a challenge. And I think God wants us to recognize that his strength and his power in us enables us to stay steady in challenging times. The reason a ball bounces is because the pressure in the ball is greater than the pressure outside the ball. And God wants his power in us to sustain us, that we can bounce back. And if you're feeling like the bounce in you is gone, and you're like a flat ball that just lands, gonk, and doesn't bounce back, spend some time in his presence. And he will fill you up. He will refresh you. It's amazing how we read through the book of Acts, time and time again, the same disciples came back and spent time in God's presence. And he refilled them, and they went out with boldness, with courage. They recognized that they were ordinary, unschooled men. They didn't even know how to spell the word no. Okay? They were unschooled, ordinary men, but they had been with Jesus. Okay? Now, of course I know how to spell no. I just spelt it like that so everybody else felt better about themselves. Okay? That's all I was trying to do. All right, let's carry on. Number seven and the final one we see is Jesus is the provider of my life. Jesus is the provider of my life. Philippians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I love that verse. What I love about it is that we know that God is our source and he is not limited by our resources. He's not limited by our economy. He's not limited by what's happening around us. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we can claim this promise in context because we see that they were a generous people. In verse 15 through to verse 18, listen to what he says. He says this in verse 15, moreover, as you Liverpudlians, no. In the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. You know, one thing that pleases God about Gateway Church is your big-heartedness. You're sending a team to Uganda. Is that awesome? You know, a church is not measured by its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. Huh? It's awesome. The fact that you've got, I asked, why do you have all those 50 little stickers on the map there? It's incredible, really. And those are places where Christians are persecuted. And the reason those stickers are there, it's evidence that you have prayed for people there. Now, each one of those stickers represents people like you and I who live in those places where they are persecuted because they believe in Jesus. And your prayer is making a significant difference. Our prayer, our sending, our welcoming. You know what's wonderful about living in the United Kingdom is that people from all different nations come. We came from Zimbabwe here, and you guys opened your heart up to us and welcomed us here. It's wonderful. You know, it's amazing how Jesus cares for people. One of the messages I've got on my iPad to speak, which, you know, I might speak some other time, was about the woman at the well. And she was a Samaritan woman. And it's quite incredible. We see through the New Testament, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't have much to do with each other. But Jesus has a heart for the outsiders. And I think it's fantastic that you as a church have a generous heart, that there are people who are reaching out to people in the community who are living at a disadvantage and showing the love of Jesus to people. And it's incredible how Jesus, he ministered to a Samaritan woman who went to a town and the whole town believed in Jesus. And then who was the hero of the story of the man on the road from Jericho to Damascus? I think it was, or Jerusalem, the guy who got fell among thieves, the Good Samaritan. Huh? Amazing, really. You know, again and again, we see Jesus ministering to Samaritans, to people who were on the margin of society. And I think this is a fantastic church because you have a heart to reach out with the love of Jesus with the message and the mandate to go and care for people in the community with the love of Jesus. And I think that this is a church that God can add people to, because when people come here, they will be welcomed. and added to this family. I think it's fantastic. It really is. And keep being big-hearted. And because of your big-heartedness for what God is doing here in Liverpool, in this nation, and in the nations of the world from this local church, by sending teams, by sending Nigel and Melita to be a blessing, by receiving people, by praying for people, by being a part of the big picture, I can with confidence say, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Provision. Sometimes provision is God gives us stuff, but sometimes provision is a penny saved is a penny earned. Hey? I mean, provision of rent-free in this venue for a season is incredible. It really is incredible. Now, it might not be that for long. Who knows? The bottom line is this. Today, we're seeing God's hand upon you, and we can rejoice in that. And I think it's fantastic that as a church, you have a heart for what God is doing here and for what God wants to do in the nations. And I think it'd be good for us to take a few moments and just have a bit of some time, if it's possible, of just praying for one another. Praying for one another. Today, do you need Jesus to experience Jesus as your perfecter? Trusting him that he who has begun the good work in you will finish what he has started. That Jesus, you are the purpose for my life. You are alive for a purpose. God's not finished with you. He's not finished with you. Your best days are ahead. The pattern is living like Jesus. The prize is living for eternal values, living for that which cannot be taken away. That one thing, peace, knowing God, knowing the God of peace, and having the peace of God, spending time in prayer. Do you need power? Do you need strength to live in challenging times? Strength to live in good times and in difficult times? Or do you need God to provide your needs? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What would be good is, if you're not comfortable doing this, that's fine. No problem. No one's going to look down on you or whatever. But I'd like to invite you just to join me. I'm going to turn off the microphone. And I think let's go to somebody today. Get yourself a partner if you can. If you want to just stay in God's presence and just sit and just enjoy just the quietness of being here, that's cool. But I want to encourage you. God wants to use